Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John, and we find our way to the Gospel record of John, chapter number 17. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 17. John 17 is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ is taking time to pray on our behalf, to pray for the disciples, to pray for the situation he is about ready to face. For in just a few hours, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be betrayed. He is going to be arrested, put on a false trial. He is going to be abused, scourged, beaten, then put up on a cruel cross. He's going to die and be buried. Just in a few short hours, all of this is going to happen. And so as the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing for this, he has already spent the last several hours instructing his disciples and trying to prepare them to move on. And now he is having this private time with just him and the Lord. And as we get a nestle in close, as he's on his face in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is praying these things out loud, we get to join along with him. And with this, we get to learn quite a bit about life, universe, and everything, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about how things work. And this has been a fascinating prayer of the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Gospel record of John chapter 17. The Gospel record of John chapter 17. And if you don't mind, we're going to get a good running start and just read the entire passage up to where we are now currently at. Notice with me John 17 and verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I have come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I came to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things speak I in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. With this, notice the phrase there where Jesus said in verse number 15, John 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. And with this, we see a principle here called the prayer of refusal. The prayer of refusal. An interesting concept. Scholars and theologians have studied this little section of verses quite a bit over the years. And through their studies, we have been able to glean much information and thought, a process of this here. A prayer of refusal. A prayer of refusal. You will learn more about a person through their prayer life than any other part of their life. The secret desires and concerns are expressed when we earnestly speak to the Lord. And so as we're sitting next to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're learning quite a bit about Jesus and this prayer of refusal. We know that after decades of serving the Lord, the Apostle Paul had a prayer that I might know him. That should be the goal of all of our life, that I might know him. And one way that we get to learn quite a bit about the Lord Jesus Christ is by studying this prayer of John 17, that I might know him. Here again, Jesus prays. He says, I pray not for the world. He'd said that earlier. I pray not for the world, but for those that are in the world. Here he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus is explaining that. That was in the end of verse 14. Sorry for that. And he says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou shalt keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. With this, we could see that Jesus Christ is praying a negative, meaning I'm praying not. This is not what I'm praying for. I am not praying that they come out of the world. I'm praying that God is going to be able to use them while they're in the world. Amen. We know that death is a real thing. The Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews that we all have an appointment with death. It is as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every one of us have an appointment with death. There is a time that we will have to cross that valley of the shadow of death and cross over to the other side. It is death that makes people think about life. When people are told that death is very close, people start to think about things. One of the fruitful ministries that my wife and I had been involved with in years past was a retirement home ministry. For a lot of those people, their next stop is death. Eternity, somewhere forever. And so as they're thinking about that, it became a fruitful last stop to be able to witness to them. There's a lot of times as a working in the hospitals, either as a chaplain or as a medic, I'd be able to reach people as they're preparing to die, as they're thinking about death and it scares them. Whenever someone has some type of scare, it's usually effective to go visit them right away and to be able to say, since you're thinking about death, have you thought about the future, thought about eternity, what happens after that? Death is a real thing and something we have to face. But Jesus here is praying that I don't want them out of here. Jesus is praying for those who the strength of life who get discouraged about a matter and sometimes say, you know what, I'm out of here. You know, as a Christian, it may have crossed your mind from time to time that we look at this old awful world and the trials and the things that are going on, and we just sometimes think, you know, it'd be better off me to be out of here. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I want to be gone. And we kind of get disappointed that sometimes God doesn't let us. We talked about before that there are several people in the Bible that specifically prayed, Lord, get me out of here. Moses, Elijah, Jonah. And for each of those men, God said, nope, you're staying there. I've got a purpose for you. There's a reason for this. I want you here on this earth. We know that sometimes we may feel like it is better off for us to be out of here. But on God's side, he says, no, I've got a plan. It is better for you to be here. This is one of the things for us that we believe in, what we would call the sanctity of life, that life is precious, that life is purposeful, that life has meaning, that God has a purpose. It doesn't matter where we're at in our stage of life. As long as you have breath, there's a purpose for you being here. Now, there are some times that we are blinded and we don't see the purpose of why we're here, or we don't see the purpose of something going on. But God does. But God does. So with that being said, and just pointing out that there's a purpose for here, let's just answer that question. What would be a reason why we are still here? Why is it that when we get saved, God just doesn't pop us off to heaven? I mean, think about how wonderful that would be, just to kind of say a prayer of faith and then boom, we're out of here and don't even have a chance to sin after we get saved. Let's just get out of here. Why would God let us remain here? Why would God desire for us to stay in this old, rotten, filthy world with troubles? Job had said that, you know what life is? Life is many days and full of troubles. You know what? The longer I live, the more problems I have. For us, I'm done. But God says, as long as I have you here, there is a purpose. Now, it could be you don't know what your purpose is. It could be that when we talk about this, you don't see why God would leave you here. Well, may I just give you three reasons from the Bible that God gives why God wants us to be here? If you don't mind, first of all, we need laborers for the Lord's work. We need laborers for the Lord's work. If you don't mind, turn with me to the gospel record of Luke. The gospel record of Luke, and notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 10, or chapter 10. The gospel record of Luke and chapter number 10. What purpose do we have on this world? Why does God want us to be here? Well, Jesus gives a specific reason in the gospel record of Luke chapter number 10. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 1. The gospel record of Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Therefore, so because he sent them, he's now going to list why he's sending them. He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. When Jesus Christ is giving an expression here, he's looking out and he's not saying, oh man, we're not going to have enough of a harvest. He's saying there's a harvest that is plenteous. The problem is we don't have laborers. We don't have enough people to go out to the field. It is not a harvest problem. It is a labor problem. We now live in a world of an estimate of 8.2 billion people. That's a lot. It's more than people can count. In fact, I saw a study the other day that said that count may be off quite a bit because of the rural population, that they said that they could have miscounted the rural population by up to 60%, because it's hard to count the people out in the country and who's all there. So they said the population could actually be higher because they didn't get an accurate count of the rural. That's a lot of people. 8.3 billion people. And from all estimates, most of those people are going to die and go to an awful place called hell. From all of our estimates, one third of the world does not have a Bible in their own language. They could not read about John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. They could not read it for themselves. You see, it's not a problem with the harvest. Some people say, well, my place is gospel hardened. No, it's gospel ignorant. People need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
And if we just give out the seed more, we will reap a harvest. The problem is that we need more laborers. In the Bible, it is an interesting thing to see that it takes more for God to get the guy out to the field than it actually does to get the field. Give a good example, Jonah. Jonah resisted going to Nineveh. Now, he has some biblical reasons. He didn't want him to go. He wanted the judgment of God to fall. He was a great patriot for his country. But God wanted him to go, and he had to go have him swallowed by a whale, be digested for 3 days, spit up on the beach, and then go walk all the way back there. He did a lot of work to get that one guy out there. When he went out there, he said a 40-word message and then went outside, and God saved 500,000 people. It took a lot more to get the laborer out there than it did for the harvest. There's plenty of harvest. He just needs people to go out there and work. And with 8.3 people, and most of them dying and going to an awful place called hell, there is a purpose. Every single one of us have a purpose of telling others about Christ. God is looking for laborers. He's looking for someone. And there's so many things to be done. As ridiculous as this may sound, some people believe there's a retirement age in Christian service. No such animal. There's still work to be done. You said, well, I can't walk anymore. Can you pray? Can you influence? Can you teach? The Bible talks about Titus that aged women are to teach the younger women. There's something about people who know to teach people who don't know. There's always opportunities to serve and to serve the Lord. As long as you're alive, there is something for each of us to do. One of the interesting things, Pastor Sexton mentioned it, and I've seen the phenomenon too. There are people who get older and say, all I want to do is find a church where I can just sit and be comfortable. There's no such animal. As long as you have life, you have a purpose. Brother Orlin, he just had a birthday last week, and I miss him. He was one of the heartbeats of the church, and even though he couldn't do much, one thing he said, let's go soul winning. Crazy guy. He had a stroke while we were going soul winning and wouldn't let us take to the hospital until we were done. And then after he was done, he wanted to go soul winning some more. And you know, he was said, you know, there's a purpose. There's something to do. Let's keep going. Let's go. Pastor, when we're going out again. Pastor, when we're going. I think some of my kids were with me when he had that. Or was I was by myself? I don't remember. But, you know, he was determined. Let's go. I mean, you're like, you can't walk anymore. I'm going. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were times that he would just get on the bus. And if someone had a little hoodie on the back, he would just put a track in the hoodie. I mean, as long as you have life and health, there's something you can do. I remember Clay, unfortunately, he's no longer on this earth. And he was saying, well, I got to do something. And I can't talk to people. I got anxiety. But what he would do is he would go to the hospital in the waiting room. And inside of magazines, he'd put tracks inside of the magazines. So when people open them up, they'd fall out.
Amen.
Amen. Doing something. You know, some of these things I might not recommend, but I appreciate that some of them are trying. I knew one person, they'd go to the grocery store and go to Walmart and pull out a box of cereal and put a track there and replace it. Okay. Those Walmart people got to clean it up, but they were, you know, saying, all right, I could do something.
Amen.
I could do something. Every single person could do something in the Lord's service. That's why I like trying to get kids to serve. Let them to realize it's good to serve the Lord before they turn into teenagers and realize it's not cool. Get them going. There's purpose. Everyone has something they can do in the Lord's work. Everybody does. We also realize We need to be protected. We need to be protected. When Jesus Christ is praying in the gospel record of John 17, notice what he's praying. He says in verse 15, I pray not that thou should take him out of the world. But that means that opposite of what is he praying? That thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Jesus is saying, I'm praying for you. That I'm not taking them out of the world. I'm keeping them in here. But while they're in here, that God is protecting them. Why? Because we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Philippians speaks about this. Jesus said, you're in the middle of an evil world. The God of this world is the devil. He wants to destroy you. He wants to wreck your life. He wants to wreck your home. He wants to wreck your marriage. He wants to wreck your children. He's trying to work. In fact, in the book of Peter, it says that our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That word devour means to make disappear. It's a little idea. So if you set a steak in front of me, I would make it disappear. It would be devoured. Well, what Satan wants to do is to devour you, to make it disappear. He wants to make your Bible reading disappear, your prayer life disappear, your service to God disappear, your church attendance disappear. He wants to devour, and he is constantly at work. We're in a world that we're against, that's against everything that we're trying to do, whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil. Our flesh doesn't like to serve God. We're in constant battle with it. We live in a crooked and perverse nation that wants to wreck us. And yet, in the midst of this, God can protect us. That he says, I know I've got to leave you in the world and that you've got to be there, but I'm praying that you're protected during this time. And so we have the thing of influence with us. Remember, Jesus even said that we're to pray as part of our daily prayers, lead us not into temptation. Why? There's a lot of temptation out there. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Lord, to leave the one I love. That's always a haunting song in the song, Come Thou Fount. That phrase always to arrest my attention because that's true. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. But you know, there's a Jesus who's praying for me. That I'm leaving you on this world, but I'm praying that you're protected because this world is trying to get you to stop serving, to stop moving forward, to say it's much easier to say, why bother? Why try? But God has a purpose for this. How do we work on this? Well, my life verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just verse 1. Well, there's a lot into it. The Bible says that we're to submit our bodies. What is our bodies? Well, our bodies are made up of 5 senses: taste, touch, smell, hearing, sight. Well, how are we tempted? By those senses. By what we put in our eye gate, what we put in our ear gate. What we sense is what we put into our body. No wonder we have the nursery songs, you know, be careful little eyes what you see, be careful little ears what you hear, for the Father up above. And we teach them these songs because that's where we're tempted, is by putting things into our eye gate, putting things in our ear gate, by the sensations that we feel. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, which is our 5 senses, how we interact with the world. You present your bodies unto the Lord as a living sacrifice. Lord, I give you what I see. I give you what I hear. Lord, I give you what I feel. I give you what I put in my mouth. I surrender this all to you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Here's the qualifications. God does not want your leftovers. Too many times people will say, well, I'm going to live my life the way that I want to, and then when it's old and wrecked and falling apart, I'll give it to God. You're like, people don't do that. Oh, they do it to missionaries. One of the reasons why we currently don't have a missionary closet is because of this, that what happens, people give their leftovers to the church. I don't need this pan no more. I've used it for 20 years. I'll give it to the church. Well, I don't need this coat no more. I know the moths have eaten it, but maybe a missionary could use it. And what happens is we give God our leftovers, not just physically or in physical items, but with our bodies. That we use up our bodies, we abuse our bodies, we waste our bodies, and then finally we say, all right, Lord, I'll give you what I got left over. Now, praise the Lord for someone who gives what they do have, amen. But God would rather you to give it holy and acceptable without being corrupted, messed up. That's the best time to give it to the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Notice this, which is your reasonable service. You know, God's not asking us for something that's unreasonable. He's asking us for what is reasonable. If any of you have any of the Paul Swinkey archives, listen to the sermon, Reasonable Service. You know, we live in unreasonable Christianity. Well, I don't want to read my Bible. Well, you're being unreasonable. God just said your reasonable service. You're not doing any favors to God by reading your Bible. You're just doing your reasonable service. You're not doing any favors to God by showing up to church. You're doing your reasonable service. You are being a reasonable Christian by just doing the basics. God is just asking us to live a reasonable life. What is reasonable? By presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Then in verse 2, he says, be ye not conformed to this world. Our world is trying to conform us, trying to conform the way that we think, that we act, that we behave. It's trying to conform us. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Made into something new. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? That's a good question. Do we sit here, scrunch up our eyes? Come on, mind, think right. Think right. Is it taking electrical charges and getting each side of the temple and zapping it? Come on, think right. Think right. Well, that's always a good question. How do we transform our mind? I mean, God says that's what we need to do. How do we transform our minds? Well, it goes back to verse 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. God changes how we think when we present our bodies. When we surrender what we watch, what we hear, what we do, what we experience, and we submit it to God, God then changes the way we think. This is why someone who's watching pornography cannot think biblically. Because they're constantly putting this stuff in their mind. They look at this and they said, it doesn't make sense. Because they put the things in there. This is why it's important to, I encourage people just to go get a bunch of if you need help, we live in technology age, I can give you podcast of good preaching. And just put it in. Or just put the Bible in. There's plenty of things to listen to that slowly changes how you think, what you watch. You need to guard what you watch. I mean, most television is such garbage with so much sin and debauchery on it. It's almost like watching any show. It's almost pornographic. There's almost nothing out that doesn't have some sort of pornography on there. And we could let that change the way we think. We become conformed because we're not surrendering our bodies. How do I think differently? By presenting my bodies. Changing what I put in my eye gate, what I put in my ear gate. Why? Because the world is trying to conform us. The world wants us to act and behave like it does. It wants us to think like we do. Have you ever noticed that when people who, even conservative and those of liberal mind, they think so completely different that they can't even come together now? Yeah. There is the idea of being conformed and transformed. And they literally cannot think differently. Because one is already allowed the world to transform the way that they think, and now they think things are natural when they're not. But if people surrender themselves and follow biblical patterns, it changes, God transforms the way that we think. But it starts off with us presenting our bodies. That's always been a Bible principle. The Bible says, commit your ways unto the Lord. That's first. Then he changes what we think. He'll change our desires. He'll change the way that we see things. Presenting our bodies, first of all. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. I like that word prove. That word prove goes past knowing. It now has, I have evidence of. That as I surrendered my bodies to God, that I said, I believe this is what God would have me to do. I took a step of faith and started following after him in that direction. Then I look back and say, look, this was the right way, and here's the proof that it was the right way. Amen. That I may prove the good, perfect, and acceptable of God. By the way, that implies that you can know what God's will is for you, which goes back to what we were talking about in the first place. As long as you have health, and as long as you have life, as long as you have strength, God has a purpose for you. Amen. There's a good, perfect, and acceptable will for your life. And you can know it. How can I know it? By surrendering your body unto the Lord for a living sacrifice. He changes the way you think, and as you follow after him through the desires he places for you, as you obey his word and obey biblical authority, God directs your path. You're able to look back and say, wow, how did I get here? Wow, this was what God had for me. That's why Paul was able to say at the end of his life, I have kept the faith, I have finished my course. How can he finish his course if he didn't know what his course was? There was a good, perfect, and acceptable will that he was able to fulfill and say, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He says, I'm going to be able to stand before God and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Why was it well done? You've done what I've asked you to do. How do we do that, by the way? We have to be protected. And God has said, it starts with us. We surrender our bodies as a living sacrifice. And he changes the way we think. And as our thinking is changed towards God, we follow after God, and we're doing what God has given us to do. You see, God has made the Christian life simple. We're the ones who make it complicated. Someone says, I want to know God's will. Praise the Lord. Turn off your television.
Amen. No, for real.
Change what you listen to. Change what you allow to affect you. And you'll find it very easy to follow after God. If someone says, I'm having a hard time reading my Bible, I could ask the question, what are you watching on television? We keep things simple. Or God keeps things simple, we make things complicated. One more thing, remember that God has left us here for a purpose. As long as you have health, as long as you have life, as long as you have strength, God has a will for you, a purpose for you. There's something you're here for. What else is there? We need to minister to those around us. Notice, if you don't mind, Paul's admission in the book of Philippians chapter 1. One that I think we all can relate to. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, and notice with me verse 23. Philippians 1, 23, Paul says this testimony. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. Hey, Paul said, hey, you know what? I want out of this world. I have a desire not to be in this awful world anymore. We can relate with that. He says, for I am a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It'd be far better for me to be up in heaven, be with the Lord. That'd be far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul says, here's my problem. I want to be pleasing the Lord, and I want to do what God's given me to do, but I'd rather be out of this place. However, I realize that as long as I'm here, God has a purpose, and my purpose is to be a blessing to you, to minister to you. It is more needful for you that I'm here. He said, it's not better for me to be here, but it's better for you that I'm here. Why? Because we have to minister to others. We get to influence others. We get to be a blessing to others. The Lord Jesus Christ has assignments with our name on them to carry out on this earth. We are to identify your God-given assignments and do them with all your heart that God has given us here to do. We understand if you could forgive a personal illustration, but I'd rather be out of this world too. But if I was gone, who would be the pastor of this church currently? God has a purpose for it. That means you guys got to put up with me because I'm here to be a blessing to you. There's a purpose for you. There's a reason. And God wants you to know the reason. He wants to know you to know his plan for you. He wants you to be able to find his will and accomplish it because all of us have someone we can influence. Whether you're a parent, you have great influence. Whether you're a grandparent, you have great influence. A neighbor, there are people around us. Even in this church, you don't realize the kids that are in here are looking up to you. Some of you may not realize it, but they think you're the greatest Christian they've ever seen. And you say, well, I feel like I'm the poorest Christian they've ever seen. Someone is looking at you. Whether it's at work, whether it's neighbors, they're looking at you as an example. And you have a responsibility and influence. Remember, the type of influence we have is not a dominating influence, where I use my influence to bully people. But the influence we have is more of a permeating influence, meaning that it's one that gets into the pores and just soaks in. I'm not here to dominate people. I'm here to influence them. I don't make them serve the Lord. I give them encouragement and point them up to him and they make their own decision. But all of us have an influence. All of us have someone who's gone closer to the Lord or further away because of our influence. And as long as you're alive, you have influence. And we need to use it wisely. We need to minister to others, to be an encouragement, to encourage children, other people. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Look to the Lord. Trust in him. We get to influence him, others, for the Lord. So again, I wanted to remind you, as the Lord Jesus Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying for us. And his prayer is that we're not taken up out of here. His prayer is that we stay down here, we're protected, but that we accomplish what he has given us to do. That there are laborers needed. God is looking for laborers. And sometimes when we pray for laborers, we're expecting God to bring someone from the outside. No, he's got enough laborers here. We all can do something for the Lord. God wants to protect us. And part of it is our responsibility to protect what comes in our ear gate, our eye gate, what we have in our senses. And as we separate ourselves unto God and give our bodies unto him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service, he transforms our mind. And now he changes our desires. You know, one of the biggest miracles of the ministry is that I desire to be in it. First, Timothy chapter 3, where God is giving the qualifications of the pastor. It says, if any man desireth the office of a bishop. What does that mean? That God has let him change his desires where he says, I want to be here. Amen. I know how difficult it is, but I want to be in here. That's one of the things God could change, where before you said, I could never see myself telling someone about the Lord. Where you get to the place where you desire it, because God does a transforming work. Amen. He changes our desires. He changes what we feel, changes what we like. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. And then we understand that we're here to minister to others around us. We have an influence, every single one of us. And we're here for a purpose to influence others and point them to the Lord. And we have a great responsibility that even as an older person, you can influence people. But someone's got eyes on you now and are looking at you as if you're the greatest Christian. You're the greatest example. Maybe you have a bunch of people that don't go to church, but they know that you do. They're looking to you as an example. And you have an influence. You never know what the influence is. If you could forgive another story, just to kind of lighten it up. In the Philippines, there was a church that was started. Now, of course, their things are different. It's in the hill countries that they didn't have nice bricked-in buildings like this. But theirs were open-wall buildings. They would have like a little poles and a hutch, and that's where they would have church. And there was a man with his dog that would go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And it was just their thing. They went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, the guy died, but his dog didn't. But his dog was such in the habit of going to church that the dog kept going because that's what he was taught, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Well, there was a neighbor who would be confused that every Sunday morning, on time, that same dog would go without an owner and just travel in front of a shop and then come back home. And then Sunday night, the dog would come the same time every Sunday night and go and then come back. And every Wednesday, the dog would pass it from a shop. Every Wednesday at the same time. Finally, he said, I've got to figure out what this dog is doing. This dog is like clockwork. So one service Sunday morning, he decided, I'm going to follow that dog. So he followed the dog and saw the dog get to the spot inside of that open walled church, sat down and watched the service. The guy says, well, I'm here to watch the dog, sat in the back, watched the dog, happened to hear the preaching. And that guy got saved. So if a dog could bring someone to church, we all have influence. We all have influence. And our influence can drive people closer. That again, there are some people that the only thing they know about you is that you're a Christian. And to see you regularly going to church could influence them because they know there's something to this. As long as you have life and health and strength, you have purpose. Let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you'd give us grace and mercy. Help us, Lord, to use our influence wisely. Help us to be settled, understanding that you have a plan for us. You have a desire for us. You want to use us. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us even now, Lord, to take this seriously, knowing that you prayed for us and continue to pray for us. Maybe there's something that we need to adjust, something that we need to keep from our eye gate and our ear gate. Lord, I'm asking that you would help do that so you could change the desires of our heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.